alone. A fool doesn't notice God's patience, showing his mercy by your everyday awakening. You don't acknowledge it, but every breath you're taking in, it symbolizes that our God is still raising men. Through our mishaps and messing up, he's patient, giving us time so we can step it up. Blessing us through wrongdoings, he be checking us. Never alone, always checking up. Could have said that's enough, now that's patience. No hesitation in his statements. We grow through, yet we're never forsaken. I was that dude catching attitudes like where we at, but through every storm he came through, so bury that. We want things when we want, we on some hurry back. But growing more, we learn where to place our worries at. A foolish man doesn't wait, a wise man learns from mistakes and moves that a God led pace. A wise man's patient with his brethren and doesn't treat him as if he ain't intelligent. He doesn't give up to help him learn, remembering that he was in that same place first or worse. But somebody took time to pour into him and took him out when they really couldn't afford to do it. And took time out to pray, cause late night, advice given when he fell on his date night. Now that's patience. Like a dude praying for a wife, not giving in to only dating. Or like a woman not just jumping to the next man. No one waiting for God to send him is the best plan. Sometimes we forget how God orchestrates. It sounds better than ours, don't try to force your place. And the non-belief is right where you used to be. So stand outside of the norm of what is usually impatient. A blind man is used to the darkness and needs love not to be treated like garbage. You walk in his shoes once, dead to the truth, bearing nothing but death, dead to the fruit. They in that same place, needing that same grace, needing that time for you to share for that same faith. That seed planted will grow, so take time to make time, giving all that you know. Now that's patience, some frustration, some irritation, but lay foundation for clarification. Times get hard and giving up is easiest, but what's more pleasing to God is obedience. And times short, more importantly, they need us to be examples for change. Yo, they see us. A strong man perseveres and stands to live out what he hears. Though the challenges and storms do appear, he's patient.
Do work, and get grind, be patient, be patient. You do work, keep in mind.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another blessed and exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Be grateful, amen, that you know who God is. Amen. Be grateful that you even have the desire to want to know if you don't know him. Amen. I don't know when you're hearing this, because we are at a critical time in life and history. Amen. God is about to take mankind to the next level. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Amen. The blessed Son Jesus. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. And my pastor, producer, Brother Pastor Gerald over on the Running for Christ Ministries, amen, the sponsor, hallelujah. You know, I just thank God for everybody, amen, that I meet on the way, amen. If you're new listening in, just pay attention, hallelujah, because my job is to help you get to the next level, amen. I'm not into the prophecy. There's prophets out there, plenty of them out there. I heard somebody say there's too many of them out there, but you know what? The object is that God intends for as many as possible to pass judgment. He's not interested. He didn't start this whole thing with people with an expectation that the majority would fail. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's what I'm here for, to try to explain the process. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But just thank God for what we have this far. Thank God, my brother, on the radio portion for the music section. You know, I started rocking. Wish I had my roller skates on. Amen. Hallelujah. Good, clean gospel music. And for those old heads that don't like rap gospel, well, it ain't for you. People don't like, I don't like Beethoven. I'm going to be specific. Okay, yeah, all right. I like him, I mean, as a person, but that ain't my type of music. I got something for everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. But, amen, let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come before your throne. It is a privilege every time we get to do so because it came with a very high price. Amen. That tells us our worth, which is beyond the measurement that all the money in existence could ever match. Father, it cost the price of your own son. Amen. You exchanged his sinless life for our sinful life, Lord. And we thank you for the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross and keeping your word and sending back the Comforter, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, to guide and to help us complete this journey. Father God, right now, we ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you bless us to know Jesus in a greater way, to know you in a greater way, to know your word in a greater way. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you've made available to those of us who will submit and obey you. A power level that we're about to go to, Father. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with a full understanding of love by its length, its width, its breadth, its depth, and its height. The love of Christ which passes all understanding. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. And we thank you for that. Father God, I ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're still on Holy Spirit and man. And, you know, I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit because, you know, I ask God, what do he want to say? I don't, you know, it's not my will, but his. And that was what we talked about last time, the demonstration that illustrated the difference between Jonah and Jesus. Jesus submitted against his own will. You have to understand, that's a lot in that when you think about it. Because you have to keep in mind that two things, how we began. Psalm 100, verse 3 said, it is the Lord who made us and not we ourselves. And learn to appreciate the simple fact that you exist because God wanted you to. You didn't bring yourself here. And I get that. There are people that complain about the fact that they are here and that they have to adhere to his will and his word. But his will and his word is what's beneficial for life. I mean, you look at what's going on in the world, treated around the world, you can see the significance in doing things his way. One of the key factors of life is that when Jesus do return, he's going to take money out of the equation. Everything else will still exist at a cleaner level, at a more productive level, at a more beneficial level, but you will not be required to have money to obtain it. And that's why he said everybody gets to choose a mansion. As I've said before, man will be sitting in the middle of probably the ocean somewhere. So you will have teleport capability or some form of transportation. And then the basement will be glass so that I can see what's going on down there. Actually, I won't really need that, but if I have to have a mansion, I want what I want. And God said, Jesus said it. So I'm keeping it. I know he keeps his word. All right. So we really need to understand. So God wants us to understand our nature. And that's critical in that we are a small G-O-D, God class being. That's tremendous. You got to keep that in your mind. That is the specific reason, being that you are a spirit. Amen. Inside of a body with mind, will, you have mind, will, and emotion, the ability to focus, the ability to apply energy at what you're focused on, and evaluate it. That's what emotions does. Determine whether you like it, don't like it, pause, whatever. Amen. And you're inside of a body, commonly known as the soulless realm. Now, I read various books on the issue, and I find they have their opinion. I have mine. I look at what it is, okay? The soul, you know, anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. Read my book if you want to know that. Hallelujah. But the point of the matter is you're an extremely powerful person. You know, last time I believe I talked about the fact that if you launched a bowling ball 220,000 miles an hour, or no, I said at 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light, and hit the earth, you'd make a crater. I mean, the crater that would probably sink most major cities. I mean, you're talking tremendous power. You, outside of your body, have that much power. You have more power than the angels. And the reason I come up with that concept is that the mystery of Genesis 1, verse 2, and it said the earth was void and without form. That void and without form was the result of Satan hitting the earth when Michael grabbed him by his neck, threw him like a dart, and hit the earth. He hit him and slammed him up against the earth. I mean, I don't know why he missed Jupiter. It's a much bigger planet, but anyway. The point of the matter is this is what God is wanting us to understand. And the parameters for our behavior is measured by our willingness to submit to love. Now, remember I shared the acronym that the Holy Spirit gave for me for the word holy, and that is humble, obedient, loving, and yielding. And that cost you something. And if you see that in the definition of God's love, which I believe is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, and I have found in my life experience, it helps me to live in peace with a lot of people. I don't have to like you, but I have to love you. And if I have to love you, I do it God's way. God, I get my love from God. God is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. The whole God the Father, God the Son, you don't see nothing but love throughout the entire Bible. And you don't see, I know we like to think about that happy hug me, kiss me love. And you know what? If agape love isn't the foundation of eros, which is love between a man and a woman, or phileo, which is love between friends, or storge, S-T-O-R-G-I, love of family, and then without that as a foundation, it rarely lasts. Because, again, you have to bear in mind, he intentionally allows Satan to exist. But the only reason Satan is destined for hell is he did not wait for command with instructions on what to do. He usurped authority. God didn't send him to the garden. He went on his own. Okay? Now, you have to bear for the new people. You have to look at the chain of events. Okay? And it'll help you if you get a copy of my book, which is The Millennial Kingdom, The Guide to Millennial the millennial Christian, a guide to millennials, but Christianity without religion. Tongue twister there. Because I explain all that. You got to look at the timeline, okay? Revelation chapter 12, which was written in 96 A.D., Satan get kicked out of heaven, okay? For that's when he did his dirty deed, all right? That's when he got upset. He got kicked out with a third of the angels, all right? And then he hit the earth. You don't see that, but that was written 4,000 years before Revelation chapter 12. Which tells you that only person that had all that information was God. I believe in Luke. I know in Luke somewhere, anyway, I'm not going to quote it. I know Jesus said he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, okay? Which means that he saw the event, which means that he's always been. And you got to really, once you piece all these puzzles together, all right? So he hit the earth, okay? But the point of the matter is that God decided not to evaporate him when he rebelled. That all that could have been passed. He could have made this heaven on earth, but he didn't. And then the reason he didn't is because of your basic godlike small g nature. Okay? Outside of your body, you are God is omnipotent. You are co-omnipotent. God is omnipresent. You are co-omnipresent. God is omniscient. You are co-omniscient. God has all power, knows all things, and is everywhere. You aren't. You have to travel. You have to learn, okay? And you have limits on the amount of power that you have. But the power that you have is enough so that God, in his wisdom, made life the way it is. This wasn't voted on by Congress or the, what's them people over there, the Vatican. God decided how it would be. And when you look throughout history, you find consistent rebellion toward that. That's what you read in the Old Testament, all those different events. In the first six chapters, you have the fall of man, you have the creation of man, the fall of man and the destruction of man. Because being a human being, being this nature, requires discipline. And really, the simplicity is attending to God. There's a man in the book of Genesis, I believe in chapter 5, he walked with God. His every day, he got up. His every thought was, God show me, God teach me, God guide me. So much so that God translated him. He was the first person raptured. He never saw the death angel. God said, come on over here, because you got it. You know, the rest of us still in the learning mode. All right? I don't want to go too fast, because I want you to get it, the reasoning behind, because I get questions on why there's a God, why is the world so messed up? Well, you got to go back to Genesis chapter 1, okay, chapter verse 26. He gave man dominion, and he has not rescinded that, and that order still remains until the day Jesus set foot in Jerusalem, which is soon. I mean, like, really soon. In my guesstimation, the 7 years after the rapture, that's not a guesstimation. I'm going to give you that because what changes the time factor, how we got this far, is that we woke up about 35 years ago. Preachers started teaching from the word instead of entertaining people. And it's challenging. It was challenging. I remember the comments that were made by senior members in leadership against the basically turning the church into a Sunday school. That was always God's intention. And you find in the book of Acts that Apostle Paul one time talked to 12 hours. Okay? You can't do an exhortation T.D. Jakes type message for 12 hours. God don't give that type of power out. But you can teach. And there's a lot to teach. This is why all these years we still can teach it. Because there's so many aspects to this. But the main thing is that you need to understand the authority you have. Now, so that brings us to the level of the faith content, okay? While we exercise faith, okay, trust in God, confidence in God, because that, again, alludes to the reality that God is God. That's a big difference. And some people, I was communicating with somebody earlier today, they don't get that. you know. But I realized they have stepped off into what God told me was a spiritual abyss. That's what an atheist voluntarily steps off into, a spiritual abyss. Didn't nobody push them. They through pride, and God hates pride. he hates pride. Let me tell you, anytime he pulled me, anytime he pulled me out of death row, that's where I was headed, to deliver me, and then he'll let these other individuals just go on. That tells you how much he hates pride, because God can tell in your heart what you're going to do when he give you revelation. He give you a little. If you act on that, he give you more. All right. Now, our base scripture was Acts 1:8, and it said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit come upon you. Now, that power right there is tremendous. And again, the parameters for utilization of that power is love. It always comes back to the love, because that's how God does business. If he did not do business that way, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He's love, he's merciful, long-suffering, okay? And he expects us to understand it, because he's thinking about the interactions and relationships that we're going to have eternally. I mean, really, because, see, again, I know it doesn't, it's almost as though people think that we won't have a wrong thought to come past our mind, even though Satan will be banished forever at one point. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's banished permanently, okay? But we are still thinking beings. And if I can't get away from the fact that if God thought we would be all hokey-dory, that he would have made this heaven on earth and gave us 100% use of our mind right at the start. But he did not do that. We all operated at 20. They said a few operated 25%. But look at how the world. There's enough wealth in the world for there not to be any starvation anywhere in the world. But yet there is. There's enough people around. I mean, look at that over there in Ukraine. They're fighting over land that don't even belong to them. You know why? I don't care what kind of deed some office, government office give you. When you go to a funeral, look and see what's hooked to the casket. You will never see a U-Haul hooked to it, taking everything that belonged to them. They don't even take, they gone in the body. The body goes back to the earth where it originated from. All right. So again, like I said, what I'm talking about here is what God wants me to review is what it is. Being humble. Humble is a decision you make, okay, to be submissive to God. Now, you can't be humble to the degree that God wants you to be humble and not have read his word. That's where a lot of people get it wrong. They think, and in a lot of cases, you have what I call quiet rebels. Okay, this is this quiet person. They come to church, and they just quiet. But you know what else you'll find? That humble, quiet person never pray for anybody else. Thinking is not prayer. Okay, thinking is a personal, private communication between you and God. But that does not allow God to interact in the earth by what you think. Your thoughts, this thing of your thoughts and your prayers, I don't know where it even came from. You know, nobody can read your thoughts. Anybody tell you, if somebody tell you they can read your thoughts, you're talking to a liar. God, the only one can read your thoughts. But the word prayer, that's a service that only Christians can perform. And that's how God does business in the earth. He's given you his authority, and he expects you to carry out his will. And if you're going every day without praying for somebody, you are in sin. And a sin so egregious that you may be left behind after the rapture. Now, you can doubt that. You can debate that. But you're the one taking the risk. I don't mean you got to spend 8 hours at prayer. You have to spend, God wanted you to spend 8 hours at prayer, and I have done it. He will empower you to do it, okay? You won't be struggling through it, okay? You're not Jesus made the sacrifice, so I don't have to prove to God, I'm dragging my feet, Lord, I'm giving you every ounce of energy I got. Nah, listen, God got a billion people down here praying. He don't need you to go like that. If he wants you to go that way, whatever amount of time he wants you to pray, he will energize you, but he earnestly expects you to pray. Now, the first thing is you are acknowledging him as God. That's what that is. Matter of fact, while we're on the issue, let's go read Timothy. I don't want you to take my opinion on it. Now, you need to understand that when the Bible tells you to do something, 1 Timothy chapter 2, note this. If you follow through with this, God will bless your life. I'll tell you that. Okay. He said, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, direct prayer, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, even politicians, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right? That right there. There are different aspects to prayer, and you really, it's like you can specifically ask God for specific things, particularly if you have needs. You can do that, okay? That's part of your covenant agreement. You need to understand there's lots of documentation on covenant. I have videos on covenant. You need to understand you have an agreement with God. It's not you do and don't God don't do for you. Even where he talks about giving, he talks about doing for you if you do, because it's a cycle process. It's saying that you're working in unison with him. See, that's what it requires. Now, you got to stop and give up your time and your energy to do this, particularly when it says intercessions. Okay, this is why some people are still alive, including myself. Somebody interceded for me back in the 70s. I know my mother was one. I knew my sister was one. And that's what brought us to the light. And God kept surrounding us with angels, and bullets was flying by. I mean, cars was crashing, and we come out unscathed. We weren't lucky. We were blessed because God could find somebody. That's how we won World War II, but that's another issue. All right. And then note the level. It's talking about all men, kings. This country doesn't have a king, but we have a president. And just as an FYI, you know that a king is an office. A president is an office assigned by a king, but that's another issue. And Daniel was the president. Amen. For all who are in authority. Now, that's both secular and spiritual. Okay, you know, I get how people in their ignorance complain about pastors when they go off and ministers of God when they go off in the wrong direction. But that happens because, as you see in Zechariah 3:1, that Satan goes after leaders. That's throughout the Bible. That's what he does. He doesn't, Satan don't bother all of us. The agents of Satan bother us, okay? Now, what God's expectation is that we daily, as we do, pray for the leadership. Why? Because Satan goes after the head. If you've been punched in the head, you know your body pretty much loses its ability to function when your head is rattled. That's why he does that. See? And again, God is not looking. He's got them. They're on a separate level. God is not going to, you're not going to go to God and say, I quit going to church because all the preachers was crooked. Well, God got something today. Okay, he ain't got nothing perfect, okay, totally perfect, but he got something that can do to do. So you should say, because Lord, send me where I can go where I can be taught the word and the man of God is striving to walk upright before you. Because there are some strange pastors out there. You know, I was growing up, I was prohibited from calling people ugly. So my mother said, call them strange, because strange is something you don't understand, and you look at some people's face, and you're like, how did he get that strange looking? But anyway, I've heard some, it takes something, you know. I know that they get that way because Satan has blocked them spiritually from God. It's a type of attack that he brings. He has to bring a large number of demonic activity to get them to that state.
but it takes a large number of the body of Christ to get them delivered. Again, I listened to a testimony of a man of God that recently passed away, unfortunately, but that's what Satan is after, the gift. And he repented over some things that he had said. That was accomplished through prayer. And it is, the point is Jesus said, do it to people like you want it done to you, because you're going to miss it. I'm a specialist at not looking back at my past since I've been saved, because it's time. If I think too much about it, I would get depressed and be in tears and feel hopeless. If I look in my past, I focus on my future because I didn't get it. And God, if you study him, he don't want excuses. He won't do better going forward. Remember that. So if you trip and fall, don't be whining. God ain't going to, that doesn't impress him. You laying on the floor crying and feeling all sorry for what you did wrong. Do like David. I saw that in David. When David got, look at what he did. That man slept with another man's wife, had her husband killed, got her pregnant, and then the baby died, you know. After the baby died, he got like, all right, that's done. Let's get on with the program. That's how you, when I read that, I felt like his service. I'm like, dude, what you just did, you just go shake. Why? God said he cast your sin as far as the east to the west, never to be remembered no more. If you call him, if you ask him about it after he's forgiven you, you're calling him a liar. So go on with the program. I know it seemed hard, but that's how this life is. All right. So we talk about being humble, and then it's obedient. Now, that cuts across everywhere. See, again, you can't do this stuff, okay, unless you know the word. You want to be obedient to the word of God, because that's his kingdom mandate. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because I didn't get by me this time. Remember, all this is God. The word of God is God's kingdom mandate. Remember, you're a citizen of his kingdom in Philippians 3:20. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're supposed to prepare yourself to function like that. I'm telling you, you got tremendous things coming, great things coming. I'm telling you, I don't care what you don't. Personally, I'm going to be honest. I ain't never really a whole lot of stuff in this world. You know why? Because once I saw somebody with a garage full of dusty stuff, I got a revelation. Waste that time and energy that is only going to impress you and some humans. I just couldn't do it. It changed everything in a moment. Now, all my pursuits, the things that I thought I want, because then I looked at what I could have eternally. Listen, I'm telling you, you make an effort to lean into God, God will show you some stuff about this world and the world to come. You'd be like, that was a dream. Okay, I'm going to be it. That was a dream. But it is true. People are struggling right now. I find people when I struggle, not I struggle, when they struggle when I say God is about to take man to the next level, which is 100% use of his mind. I know that they don't think on that level, but it's in the word. I ain't making this up. That's tremendous fall. When you tell people that Jesus teleported twice and that Philip teleported, they're like, what? Listen, there are people with consonants behind their name called this. Why? Because they don't know the answer. Why? Because they won't humble themselves before God. That's why I know. I let God tell me what he want me to know. I don't try to tell him. Listen, the guy don't have no birthday. If God don't have no birthday, why should anything he tell you shock you, really? Okay? He don't want to throw me no evidence that it's demons, but that's another whole story. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. But being obedient. How you going to be obedient if you don't know what his word is? Deuteronomy 28:1. 28:1 tells you what happens if you're obedient. 28:15 tells you what happens if you ain't. And the list of what happens if you ain't is 2-3 times as long as the list that happens if you obey. That you need to read Deuteronomy 28:1. Read in the English version so you understand that it ain't worth it. Why? See, this, you need to understand what that is saying too. Once you decide to disobey God, you don't have two territories. You only have two territories, God's territory, Satan's territory. And Satan is merciless, especially with a Christian. He can see you. Yeah, the world, you can walk past people all day. They can't see your spirit until you have the Holy Spirit. You can't walk past a demon and him not know you have the Holy Spirit, which means don't get left behind. You won't be able to hide from them. These are things that I find playground Christians are going to get their feelings hurt. They don't know what type of abuse is coming if they get left behind. Again, obedient. I wouldn't know that I'm supposed to pray for all those in authority. It doesn't say I have to like them. But it says for me to have a peaceable life, this is what I need to do. The problems in the world, the reason the world is so messed up and crazier by today, not enough saints praying. There are less praying. My mother's generation did not have the full revelation of prayer that my generation had, but God blessed them at the level they was to the point that the world got better under their administration. After World War II, listen, you got to go back and review the history, particularly of America and England, of how they treated people based on the color of their skin. You still see some of that now, okay? But that change did not come around. The only race war that occurred was a race war between the saved and between the saints, and between the blessed, the spirit-filled, and the demons. That's the only race war that occurred. And you can see it won. Amen. I remember thinking that Dr. Martin Luther King was crazy, but his way won. The love is releasing God into the earth. And it got white and black people together to a level that a lot of people don't even have a clue, you know, of what it was like, what it was like. But that was done through prayer. That was done through prayer. We had corrupt government leaders. There was racism everywhere. But that spirit of racism got handcuffed by the spirit of love. I'm telling you, that's a tremendous power. And see, and that's what God wants for you to be able to go in your job and you experience that, to get you some saints together and pray and bring that thing into subjection, into captivity. See, bring it into captivity. But you got to be in captivity, okay, with God in order for that to occur. You can't live any old kind of way. That's another aspect about obedience. I have to watch what comes out of my mouth. I'm accountable for what I say. What thoughts come into your head, you're not accountable for, okay, until you act on them, okay? That's when it becomes known publicly, because, you know, demons can put thoughts in your head, and they do. They can talk to you, okay? That's what happens with a spiritual being. That's why you have to. That's another reason for knowing the word of God, is so you know how to respond. Because a thought come in, don't say what the thought is. Don't say, I'm broke. Say, okay, God going to make a way. See, you got to know how to respond according to his word. That's a major area. You got to know when not to say something. The Bible says even a fool is considered wise when he know the right time not to speak. Okay? All right. So then we got loving. Now, that area is for those people that are not that easy to love. Damn, the Bible tells you something. Remember, now, everybody can do the evil. I didn't be loving with people that love me. And the loving is want to be a benefit to them if it's possible. Now, bear in mind that is not always possible, okay? You know, I mean, it's some people out there that are committed to evil even though they may not think they are, okay? I do not recommend people like a woman that's got a brutal husband. You know, get out of that mess. You know, you don't have to divorce them right away, but ask God for a way away. You know, I don't know if our church still do. I don't know. We used to have a woman's shelter. Amen. Protected. Amen. With iron protection. Because there are some evil people, and God can't use you in those conditions. And there are preachers that used to tell people to stay in that mess, you know, and then they die, and that's the will of God. No, it is not. John 10:10, Jesus summed that up. He said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He come that you might have life and death more abundantly. You know, you can hope and pray while you away. Okay. Anyway. So again, that's the aspect of loving. Okay. And again, for that love is what's in the Word of God and how to conduct that behavior. Because again, it's what you have to do is bring. You have to bring your spirit, your thoughts into subjection to the Word of God. Otherwise, if you don't know the word, you can't bring it into subjection to it. That's just the way it is, period. And it challenges you emotionally, and that's going to be. Because, again, man, I wish I could remember, and I'm going to have to search it out, but I found a scripture, and then I got interrupted, that clearly indicates that the level of authority of when you speak, we know that now. Even now, Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book called Think Positive, Speak Positive. And even though he was Christian, the book was basically set in a secular mindset. But the point of the matter is that a lot of major businesses would hire him to teach their executives and their staff this concept. And it's a basic concept of the word, okay? Because, you know, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And he talks about Mark chapter 11, one of the most noted scriptures, about what comes out of your mouth. You shall have what you say, okay? And again, all this relates to being in submissive to God. We wouldn't know that. Hey, man, I'm going to just bypass that last thought. All right? So that you can get the full benefit of life. And for me, the full benefit is having peace of mind. Because a lot of things that people have don't give them peace of mind. I'll never forget this guy twice. I can think of two particular incidents. Man, this guy had a expensive car. I'm not going to say what type it was. In a garage. And there was a whole bunch of stuff around it and on top of it. That's a form of idolatry. You can tell the stuff ain't been used in probably decades, and they're holding on to it as though it's life. You know, I'd be having a garage sale for everything but that car. And I've seen that in more than one occasion. And look, and I'm not talking about poor neighborhoods. I'm talking about upper middle class neighborhoods, upscale neighborhoods. And I'm like, wow. But see, they think this is all there is. And this is what God is trying to prevent us from. He wants us to be focused on what is going to be eternal. This everything right now is not eternal. Okay, so you don't really have to work that hard to get it. There are ways to get what you want. If you really want it, you can get it. But if you got to give up God to get it, that's when it becomes an idol. All right. So moving right along. We're doing good here. All right. And then last week we were talking about being yielding. Okay. And again, it comes, I know it all seems synonymous, but it covers different aspects of our life and different relationships. And this is good for you, particularly when you're in business, because a lot of businesses lose valuable people because they won't stop and listen to their employees who are doing the job and see things that they don't see. And they may have knowledge that they don't have. I'm 73, so when I need technical advice, I go find me a young person, okay? And I submit to them, I'll check out what they're saying. I don't have to take and run with what they say, but I do realize that's their environment. You know, I'm good at telling them how to live long. So, you know, how to do this, how to have a peaceful life. I'm a happy man. This is what makes your health good, too, okay? So you're finding that they have a link between stress and cancer. People worry about a lot of stuff, and they worry and don't think they don't think of themselves as worrying, but they be concerned. And there's some things to be concerned. There's another aspect. Let me go back to this issue of prayer, supplication, being specific, family, every day, particularly men. You know, I don't know how, I don't know how. He just really tricked men into letting women be the leadership in the church. And then you got men complaining about women being in the leadership. And then you got 13 female leaders in the Bible that I counted, and only one of them was corrupt, and that's Jezebel. And they don't understand that one. But anyway, you need to, I believe God has advanced us, to say, for lack of a better word, he's changed the dynamics, okay? The way we pray, or things that he might have accepted in prayer 10 years ago, he want us to be more specific because he has given us authority. And see, and so I saw something in Matthew. Let me read this right quick. Matthew 26:53. Now, listen, I'm an advocate that if I tell you something, that you should consult God about it. Not just run it, you know, on just because of what I said, okay? But you should consult God, okay? Now, this is Jesus, the night they arrested him, and you need to read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's sad that so many Christians have been Christians for 25 years and haven't read the four Gospels. And that's, how do you tell God you want to do his will and you haven't read it? But anyway, all right. Well, I'm gonna start at verse 50. I'm going to 50 to 53. And it says, but Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? This is Judas, okay? Judas didn't double-cross Jesus. But anyway, hallelujah. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think, now this is the key, the key scripture I want you to get. Or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Now, understand what's been happening here. A band of Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus, right? And actually, it was a mix of the high priest and the temple guards. But it was 600, okay? Now, in the book of Chronicles, God sent one angel, one, and he took out 185,000 top-line soldiers in one night without breaking a sweat, okay? One angel. So when Jesus talked about 12 legions, he did not need 12 legions of angels to take out 600 soldiers, okay? Think about this. This is why the teacher said pay attention to detail. And ironically, when I was watching Passion of the Christ, I noticed that this particular event, you know, Satan is the bald head, pale-looking guy walking around in the background. And he was walking around. So Jesus is telling him, okay? Now, it seems like if you're reading this, it's almost like he's saying this to Peter. But see, you got to pick up on what's going on. Jesus is fully conscious of the spiritual realm, which is something that we need to be fully conscious of, the spiritual realm. But the point, for the sake of time, this says, now Jesus is the head. And what the head can do, any upstanding, walking according to the word Christian can do. So if Jesus can command angels, so can we. Now, in Psalm 34:7, it said the angel of the Lord encamp around those that fear him, reverence him. And that's true. But then you notice events where Christians, upstanding, good people, get taken out. How can that happen? Well, one, I don't know everything about them. I see them as upstanding. I don't know what comes out of their mouth when I don't see them. Okay, I don't know how they treat their spouse or their kids and all those things. Believe me, if there's an attack, there's a gap. Okay, that's one aspect. But then now, when God changes, we have to change. Matter of fact, I want to read this in Acts 17:30 because I noticed through this, and I looked for this, which is called what I call a witness from God. Acts chapter 17, I don't want to read all this. All right, this is Paul speaking. You really want to go back and read this and start. When you go back and read it, start at verse 24, but I'm going to start at 29. It says, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like unto gold and silver or stone or something shaped by art of man's devices. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, okay? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in his righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of all this to all by raising him from the dead, talking about Jesus. But the main thing is in verse 30, the dynamic, okay? And I noticed lately, again, like I say, I expect senior members of the body of Christ, particularly those in the office of prophets and pastors and bishops, that a lot of times some things, when I hear something by the Holy Spirit, I expect God to sort of give a second opinion on it, and that has happened so consistently through my life. And that was when my pastor did a series on judgment. And the simple aspect of judgment is that depending on your state and the relationship with God is how the judgment will manifest. Okay, if you're walking up right before God, you will find that it will bypass you and yours. Okay, but if you have stepping and not stepping, then you're going to be victim, because Satan can get at those, amen, that are not submissive to the will and the word of God. Okay, they open the door. Now, and that's one of the main things about commanding angels. They're not going to respond. You got an angel assigned to you. I believe it's Matthew 8:2-10. Been with you since you came out your mother's womb. And they stay in constant contact with heaven. And if you are not behaving according to what they know the word is or what your assignment is, then they're going to respond accordingly. And they don't bat an eye, because they ain't going to hell like Satan. You know, and you will suffer the consequences of it. So this is, and you can't, we've learned that you're not going to be able to blame your pastor, because this is written in the word. It's you not going to God. He's only supposed to teach you the word, direct you to the word, direct you to God. He's not the answer to your prayer. God answers prayer. And so, but bottom line, I said this. You might want to and consult God with this. You don't have to take my opinion, though, but every day I command angels and camp around about my household. I don't assume it's going to happen, okay? When the weather acts abnormally, I command legions of angels to resist the presence of the power of the air. I don't assume it's just going to automatically happen. The evidence is clear. Look at how crazy the world is. The angels of God are more powerful than Satan, but look at all the damage that's being done. And this is why some people believe that God doesn't exist, but they don't understand. There is a method to this madness, okay? And if you choose not to believe it, that's on you. That's on you. I mean, I just recently went through an examination. They found some stuff happening in my body, and they wanted to do a deep probe on me, which I submitted to. You know, and even that, I consulted God about it, because I sure didn't want to go, but they didn't find no cancer. Why? And I'm not a person of super faith. I can't walk on water, all right? I can't fly. I've been teleported. I can't, you know, I'm not omniscient. I do strive to, I correct myself whenever I get told I'm wrong, immediately. I don't wait, you know, in minor stuff, major stuff, because you're going to be attacked. The Bible uses the term fiery darts, okay? And you're going to be attacked. But again, that's about your willingness to submit to God's willingness. We see that with Jesus. I'm telling you, he just said right there when we read, he could have come in. He didn't have to go on the cross. He could have, man, you know, if that had been me when they pulled out them nails, I'm like, oh, Lord, they didn't go on too far. I'm sorry. We just got to start over again. Okay? And there were times when God got so when there was out in the wilderness, they got I got pissed so much, I'm going to kill everybody and start with you. Okay? Now, hey, even God, yeah, he do. You don't want God pissed. Been there. You don't want to do that. Okay? I learned some lessons the bad way. All right? But see, the point of the matter is, because it's the reason I'm telling you this, to fine-tune your stuff, because we are in the end of days. And the reason, one of the reasons God kept secret the end of the day is he knew Satan would step up his rate of homicide and destruction. Because he knew that the day, but it tells you that in Revelation chapter 12, that he knew that his days are short. He knew that. Okay, so he's going to try to do as much chaos and damage as possible. But again, remember, you outpower him. You outpower him. So, you, and sometimes you may require backup. So you need to know some grounded, sanctified saints that know how to pray. Not some gossipers. I heard my pastor say the same thing the other day. Some grounded people. Get to know the ones in church that are serious, okay? Not the one that come part-time and make excuses and try to justify living in the flesh. Man, you know, they might P-R-E-Y on you, all right? But, hey, man, the thing is this is what this is about. Because God wants to, this is another thing God wants to do with us, and that is he wants to use prayer in a greater way with us. And he God don't pray. He answers. Jesus intercedes for the body. It's our job to pray for those in authority. Okay? But, again, if you have to be living in accordance, and the longer you've been a Christian, you new Christians, God will give you leeway, okay? He'll tell you when he needs you to change a specific area and really work on it. He, if you're listening to him, give the TV a break, give Facebook a break, he will tell you and give you the revelation of how to get it done. And you, it's best when you read the word. He will even at some point in time, sometimes he will even call the scripture and teach you on it, okay? So this is a job. This is a journey you can make, all right? So remember, you have the Holy Spirit. That is God. You know, I can't overemphasize that. You know, I know I covered a lot of territory, but this is the direction I was given because I sought it out, and that's what I was given, amen, and I just thank God for it. All right, well, maybe by perchance this is the first time you've seen this video, and you've never acknowledged Christ as Lord and Savior, and you are probably a good person, and you're probably wondering, well, if I'm a good person, why do I need to do this? Because you were born, and you were born in sin. You're a victim of circumstances, okay? That was going to happen. You were never going to, you're not God, you're not perfect, and you just have to accept that reality. But let me tell you about this journey. You accept that and you receive Jesus, he will show you love in a way you could never have imagined. A lot of things that you think are important right now, you find aren't important. And you won't have any fear. I don't worry about World War III. I don't worry about diseases. I don't worry about the economy. I don't worry about nothing because I'm confident in God. And I'm going to tell you, this is a blessed way of life. This is a blessed way of life. But you really can't know. See, this is another thing. This is important. God cannot talk to you if you're outside of Christ like he can talk to me. Because legally, he will be crossing into a domain that belongs to you. And he needs you to voluntarily allow him to communicate with you. That's very critical. That's very critical. All right? And this is the simple process. Just say this prayer with me. This is, Father God, creator of heaven and earth, I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe that all men were born in sin according to your word. But you sent your son to die, that through his resurrection, we might be delivered from sin upon receiving him. And I believe that. I don't fully understand it, but I will believe it by faith. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that I am saved, and I am born again, and I am restored. Amen. You know, that's the deep part. And with that, God forgives everything. And, you know, I say everything, everything. There are people sitting in prison going to heaven, even though they're in there for life without parole, but they will. When the rapture comes, they're going to break out of heaven. I mean, break out of jail, go straight to heaven, because God forgave them. They had to deal with the consequences of their actions. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's in a lot of situations. Hallelujah. But anyway, know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week if the rapture don't come. And I'll see you on the way up if it do.
Said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling on my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today, today.